Do you believe in ghosts? Have you ever had something happen to you that you just cannot explain? Do you binge ghost hunting shows just to get the adrenaline rush of a good scare? If you delight in the paranormal and creepy real ghostly hauntings, be sure to grab yourself a copy of one of Eve S. Evans' books today. 50 terrifying ghost stories, chilling ghost stories, and real ghost stories, to name a few. Available on Amazon.
Opening behind you.
It's a ghost.
Oh, is it the dog?
Yes.
Busting his way in.
Oh my god, you smell like outside. Holy shit. Okay.
In a good way?
Never in a good way. Never does a room not smell like something and you go, oh my god, you smell like outside.
Is it poop?
Oh my gosh.
No, it smells like wet leaves.
Mm. Huh. Did it rain last night?
No. It's probably found a mud spot still, though. It's been very wet here.
Yeah, he probably found something good to roll in.
Oh, this is Ladies Fright. I'm Maggie.
I'm Lauren.
I'm Jackie.
We're going to talk about raw chicken all day. Raw chicken began when a chicken was not cooked.
Ew.
This was back in the year. Okay. No. What are we actually talking about, Lauren?
All right. So this episode, we will be discussing fairies / spirit creatures / sprites of North, Central, and South America. This is by no means an exhaustive report, but I also wanted to be respectful of other cultures. So I did find it a little bit challenging, I won't lie.
Mm.
Okay, so we're going to start in North America. So one can argue that any fairy or spirit folk found in North America, and I guess specifically what I mean with this part is the United States, anything you could find pretty much anywhere else has likely come to America or has logically come to America because of immigration. I know that's like way oversimplifying it, but I feel like it's not irrelevant.
The immigration of culture and knowledge.
Yeah, yeah. So like I found several sources that said there was a spirit creature that bonded to a family or to a house. And then if that family moved, the creature would go with them.
Oh.
So, and you can also actually kind of see this concept in American Gods. Mm. I haven't read the book, but the TV show, there's several episodes where they start it just says like coming to America. And so you can see how, like, I think he's the trickster god, a Nazi. He's in the form of a spider. So he like comes to America on a slave ship. So if you haven't seen that show, it's really, really well written, I feel. Many cultures have spirit folk in their creation stories. I just want to be clear. I'm not trying to say that any religious figures from any particular culture are in any way similar to fairies. So please don't take it that way.
I'm going to put it out here, and I'm not trying to speak for Lauren. You can correct me if this is not how you went about your research. But at least for mine, in areas that were not specifically European that had the label of fairy, I feel like a lot of the times you could use the term fairy or fae when referring to a nature spirit that wasn't necessarily a god. So a lesser deity of nature.
Yeah, more or less. Out of respect for everybody, I tried to stick to things that came up in like mythology. But weren't. There was one article that I didn't actually end up using that talked about Kachinas, which are a religious figure in the Hopi culture. And mm-hmm. The little blurb mentioned that they sometimes like make little dolls to help with honoring them or making offerings to them. And I remember my mom talking about Kachina dolls and stuff. So I'm going to ask her before I include this. And she basically was like, you can't include that because they're more like angels. They're very, very close to the like religious structure of them. And you can't say that they're fairies. So I wanted to stick to things that were nature guardian type things or type creatures, and anything that specifically said spirit creatures or spirit folk, just to be respectful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I found this also particularly challenging to research because it's not like when I was doing Grass and the Crocodiles, there's not that much evidence about this. It's a lot of like oral tradition. Yes, when you search, you know, fairies, there are a lot of results, but a lot of what I've ended up finding hobby sites and sites that kind of were created by authors to explain the structure in their writing of whatever world they had built. So it wasn't necessarily a lot of evidence to support what I was looking for.
It's mostly coming from a place of fiction and art.
Yeah. Yeah. You sort of have to be able to like read between the lines. I did rely heavily on Wikipedia.
Me too.
It's okay. We all do. Yeah. Don't.
Yeah. So I used 5 different articles from Wikipedia, Ducksters.com, and MountainLore.net for some of my research.
I love Ducksters.
Are you fucking with me or are you being real?
No, I actually do, but it was going to be, it's not, so this is not supposed to be mean. I love Ducksters because it's really good. It's really good how to teach kids to research based off of that, because it's a very simplistic search engine.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So, no, I'm not fucking with you. I use Ducksters with the kids all the time. That's why I was like, I love Ducksters.
I'm going to start with the Joga of the Iroquois mythology. And I am going to apologize right at the top for any wrong pronunciations. Doing my best. So the Iroquois, I wrote r/word because I'm not really that clear on it, to be honest. Confederacy composed of the Cayuga, the Onondaga, the Mohawk, the Seneca, the Oneida, and the Tuscarora tribes. That one I'm pretty shaky on that one, so I apologize. So they all kind of unified and they became the Iroquois. And so their territory of all those tribes covered New York State. Joga or Yoga, I'm really not sure. Drum dancers are mythical spirit folk in Iroquois lore. They are usually invisible, but they may reveal themselves to children, elders, or spiritual healers. When visible, they are described as about knee high on the short side to about 4 feet high. You are hearing drumming but see no drums or people drumming. That is a clue that the Joga are nearby. They also leave rings of bare earth and basins or bowls made of stones or mud. If you want to make an offering, leave tobacco or fingernails.
Ew, like clippings or full-on fingernails?
I didn't look into it.
That's pretty brutal.
I'm assuming it, what is it, associative magic there? So fingernail clippings would work?
Mm-hmm. Or like if you're chewing your nail and you like rip a piece off.
Yep. Yeah.
That would work.
Ugh.
And I'll kind of circle back to that in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
The Yogas are said to be used to explain bad luck or mysterious lights. Or like disembodied lights you might see in the sky. If you build your home in an area that they are attracted to, they might cause illnesses. They also apparently like playing games and tricks on people.
Hmm.
There is said to be different types of yogas. Okay, this is going to be a little crunchy. Gahonagas, or stone throwers, or stone rollers, like to play catch, but they like to use boulders.
Yeah.
Hardcore. And they live in rocky areas, if that wasn't clear. The Gandaya look after the plants, and they can tell the plants when to grow and what amount to yield. They also transform into birds if they have good or bad news. American robins signify good news, and owls signify bad news.
I had a nest of robins right outside my house.
Oh, really?
That's good news.
Yeah.
Nice.
Good news. Well, okay. This is a side story, and I'm very sorry to interrupt you, Lauren. So they were literally like right outside the door. So like I had to carefully open and close the door while the mama and babies were there. And I was like watching them grow, and I was getting really proud because they were getting really big. And then one day I looked out and they just weren't there. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, maybe they'll come back. And Justin's like, no, that's not how birds work. And I just got really sad because I literally felt what empty nesting was like.
Yeah.
I got really sad. That's my story about robins.
Have you had any like positive or good news come in recently?
I'm sure during that time, the robins have been gone for like 2 weeks now, but I'm sure during that time I did. I just can't think of it right now.
It was a sign.
It was a sign. I'm going to have like 6 good newses because there were 6 altogether, I think.
6 good newses.
Another type is Odows. Odows are said to be subterranean guardians of our world. They protect against creatures of the underworld that would spread disease and chaos. The Odows come out at night to dance and recapture or hunt any underworld creatures that have escaped. And so the fingernail thing, the creatures of the underworld, they know what the fingernails of the Odows smell like, and so they hide.
Oh.
Ew.
Which is a very specific fact.
Yeah. Did they describe the spell to you?
No, they did not. But I imagine it's very like pungent.
Burning hair.
And distinct.
Ugh.
I don't know.
Burning hair. That's a very specific smell that you just came up with, Jackie. Why that?
No, that's what burning fingernails smells like.
Oh.
Oh, okay. Really?
I guess.
Huh. Yeah. Because it's all keratin. It's all the same protein.
What have you been doing?
Not burning fingernails for fun.
Jackie, stop winking. Stop it.
Oh my God. Have you guys seen that clip? So it's a cat and a dog like play fighting in a living room, and their cat's on the coffee table, and there's a lit candle on this coffee table, and its tail kind of like catches light, not a short amount of time, but not like a super long time, and then it just kind of like goes out, and they both just kind of like stop, and they're like okay. Like, so I see it every now and then, and I'm like, oh God, this could go so bad.
That's terrifying. Oh,
bad.
Yeah
it's
bad.
Yeah. So now we're going to discuss the Nonahai of the Cherokee. The Cherokee were originally located in the southeastern United States, but were forced to move to Oklahoma between 1830 and 1850. The Nonahai are an immortal spirit people in Cherokee mythology. In the language of the Cherokee, Nonahai means the people who live anywhere, but is often translated in English as the people who live forever or the immortals. The Cherokee believe the Nonahai to be a type of supernatural human being, but different from like nature spirits or gods or ghosts. So they're a totally different thing altogether. One source stated that the Nonahai had many underground townhouses throughout the southern Appalachian Mountains.
I'm just wondering what the HOA fees look like.
I was just thinking that. That was exactly going to be my comment.
I don't know. That didn't come up in my research.
Yeah.
So they had like underground dwellings throughout the southern Appalachian Mountains, that they were fond of high mountain peaks where there was no timber or trees or anything. So just like big clearing at the tops of mountains. Mm. This source also stated that, quote, hunters would often hear the Nonahai in the mountains singing, dancing, and beating drums. But when they would go toward the sound, it would shift around and suddenly seem to be coming from behind them or from some other direction, so that the person hearing the sound would never actually be able to find where it was coming from.
Ooh, spooky.
End quote. And as I came upon that and I was like, oh, right. It reminds me of one of the scenes in The Hobbit. They're in Mirkwood and Bilbo and the dwarves have been traveling in this forest for some time and they're running low on water and food. And then they come upon a gathering of elves and they're feasting in the woods. And so every time Bilbo and the dwarves try to come into the feasting area, all the fires go out, light chaos ensues, and they kind of like get all confused and disoriented. And then things settle down, they find each other again, and then they see the light of the feasting area, like off in the distance again. So they try again, and it just keeps happening. And then eventually they get kidnapped by the Mirkwood elves. And if you want to read the rest of the book, go crazy. So I just was able to find that similarity in my own research.
In teaching, we call that making a connection.
Yeah. I knew there was a well-said like term for it, but I just couldn't think of what it was.
It's not well-said, but you said it fine. Don't worry.
Okay. I found 9 different stories of where the Nonahai were mentioned, but I'm not going to tell all of them. So one tale tells of 4 Nonahai women who went to a dance in the town of Notley, which is today near the Tennessee-North Carolina border. The Nonahai love dancing and music, the story said, so no wonder they want to go to a dance. The Nonahai will only appear to humans when they allow themselves to be seen, and when they do, they look and act just like other Cherokee people. They danced with these young men for many hours, and nobody thought anything. They just thought they were women from another town, and as the women were leaving, there was a group of men standing nearby, and they watched them walk down this trail to the Nautilus River. When the women reached the river, they suddenly vanished with no obvious hiding place. And that was the clue that told the men that these women were Nunahai.
Oh.
Right? Mysterious. Oh, right. Some other stories tell of their kindness to travelers or their warning signs to the Cherokee in times of need. One of the most famous stories about the Nunahai tells how they helped the Cherokee prior to the removal in 1838. If you don't know exactly what that means, basically I'm talking about the Trail of Tears. So the Cherokee were forced to leave their home and resettle in Oklahoma. The story says that the Nunahai appeared to a Cherokee village, told the people to pack their stuff and be ready to leave, and come live with the Nunahai in 7 days because, quote, a great catastrophe was about to happen, worse than anything that had ever before happened to the Cherokee, end quote. 7 days later, they returned and led them deep into the mountain. The Cherokee watched as the Nunahai rolled away a huge stone, revealing an entrance into the mountain. Many of the families entered without looking back. Some refused to enter and remained outside, deciding to face whatever was coming. People who didn't enter the mountain were later forced to leave and resettle. It is said that a number of modern Cherokee who still reside in their native land are descended from this group.
That's really interesting.
Right?
I don't know. To me, as a white person who's raised Catholic, sounds almost biblical.
Right?
Not to take away from that story. I'm just saying, like, the grandiose
That's I totally agree.
Interesting.
Being led away to escape certain death and depression.
Mm-hmm. God, white people suck.
Right?
Yeah.
Other tales of the Nunahai I came across had warriors fighting in battle, tales of defending a town thought to be abandoned during the Civil War, and several tales of, I said, nature and memory. So there was one that said group that got invited to live underneath a river with the Nunahai, and sometimes they would come up into the river and they would, like, pull on the fishing lures of their family so they weren't forgotten.
That's adorable.
Right?
Yeah, I kind of want to cry. Like, if you go fishing and you feel a tug and you go to pull it up and there's nothing there, it's just your ancestor saying, hey, we're good.
Right?
Hey, don't forget
me.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I won't.
You're doing great. So proud of you.
Don't do that. Now I will cry.
Okay, so now we are going to Appalachia. According to sources, belief in fairies or fair folk is very common in this area. It's said to be a local tradition that comes from old Scottish and old Irish tales and tales told by the Cherokee and other tribes that lived in this area. Cherokees believed in spirits called the Yunwi Sudi, or the little people. I couldn't really find that much on them, but this sounds probably the closest to what we would describe as a fairy.
Mm-hmm.
Traditions and stories from the Cherokee and other European and pioneer stories, fairies and leprechauns, fueled the strong belief in this area. Commonly referred to as fair folk, in this region, they had powers not of mortal men, allegedly. It is said that if a mortal and a fair folk were married, any children usually became healers or seers.
It is really interesting, like, specifically the phenomenon in the Appalachia area, where there is such mysticism and lore still, but it really is a marriage between the Native Americans that were there, as well as pioneers who came over. Yeah. And it's, they love a fucking folktale story, whatever. I know I was listening to, like, an NPR thing about Dolly Parton, and they were talking about how, like, all the songs from that area are songs about, like, men who have murdered women, but they just make a song about it. And it has that, like, ghost story, like, feel to it. I don't know, that area just loves a fucking ghost story or, like, a little spirit here or there. Yeah.
If you're wondering if there's any way to tell if fair folk have been, like, in your neighborhood or by your house or anything, there are several clues.
Oh, good.
So if you're in the woods, look for a circle of toadstools. Stand in the middle, make a wish, and watch your wish come true. If you have a fire going, blue flames indicate that you're being watched over by good fairies. A word of advice, though, if you're cleaning at nighttime, don't throw any sweepings or water out because you might hit one of the little people. They don't like that very much.
Oh, no.
So that wraps up North America. And now we're going to move to Mexico / Central America. No, Mexico isn't technically part of Central America. Don't yell at me.
In defense of Lauren, the lore from Central America, because we found this with witches, the lore from Central America, Mexico, and the Southwest United States tends to bleed over into each other.
Yeah. This one I found very, very interesting. There are several types of spirit creatures or sprites found in Mexico. The Aelux is a sprite / spirit creature in the mythology tradition of some Maya peoples in the Yucatan Peninsula and Guatemala. They're also known as Cheneque or Chenequa by the Natul people. I'm sorry for pronunciations, y'all.
Fine. You're trying your best.
I'm trying my best. These spirit creatures are thought to be small in height, about knee height, and they appear as miniature Mayan people in traditional dress. Generally, they're thought to be invisible, but may show themselves in order to communicate with humans and to mess with them. And they also congregate in physical form. They are generally associated with nature, forests, caves, fields, stony places, though they can be persuaded to relocate somewhere via offerings. They are said to be similar to leprechauns because of their trickster tendencies. Which I guess I never really thought about a leprechaun as being like a trickster creature.
Yeah, I think they're technically counted as fairies in Irish lore as well. Like they fall under that branch. Yeah, because you can't get anything out of a leprechaun unless you catch them, but you have to outsmart them, which is a common trope in trickster mythology, is the hero has to find a way to outsmart the trickster.
Okay, is that kind of like, who was that Greek figure with the Sphinx and the riddles?
That's Oedipus.
Really?
Right?
I think so.
Met with the Sphinx?
Yeah, yes.
Because that was the riddle with the Sphinx. So yeah, you have to outsmart the Sphinx. The other one is like Loki and like trying to see through his disguises and things like that. And once you outsmart Loki is when, like, the punishment can actually begin and things are put right.
Mm-hmm. Welcome to the lab, and it's your lucky day, bitch, because you just got paired up with three of the rowdiest and most opinionated podcasters with PBE.
Power Bitch Energy.
And we're your lab partners.
And we're not your typical scientists.
Oh, no.
We're here to discuss and dissect life's hottest and juiciest topics. We're three best friends from New York City with completely different perspectives.
I'm Lou. Popstar's my middle name, but authentic is my first.
I'm Bix, a yogi with zero chill.
And I'm Brie, longtime hot mess, first time mommy.
Join us every Monday as we step out of reality and talk about things that don't really matter, but really matter the most.
So glad we got partnered up.
Find us wherever you listen to your podcasts, and we'll see you in the lab.
Gotta love them.
Some Maya believe that the Aelux are called into being when a farmer builds a little house on his property, often in a maize field. I wasn't sure if it was like a cottage for humans or more something that would be suited to the Aelux's height, but I think it's probably the latter. Mm. Apparently, the Aelux will help the farmer with his crop for 7 years by encouraging the corn to grow, summoning rain, patrolling the fields at night against predators and crop thieves. But at the end of the 7 years, the farmer has to close all the doors and windows of the little house, and that seals the Aelux inside. And if you don't do this, the Aelux will just run amok and play tricks on people.
That's terrible. He helped you for 7 years, right? And then you're going to go ahead and trap him in his house.
Maybe that's what he wants.
You know who else does that? Men. Men do that. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Mostly.
Yeah, mostly. Maybe that's like his retirement stage. He's like, I'm done.
Yeah. It does sound like the lyrics to a country song, I'm not going to lie. I had you for 7 years, and you were helpful, and then you became a dick.
Yeah.
Thank you.
When's your album coming out?
I will be accepting my Grammy Award at this address. No album, just awards.
Build me a house first, and then we'll talk about an album.
Some stories exist of the Alex occasionally stopping to ask travelers or farmers for an offering. If the Alex is refused, then they'll just wreak havoc and spread illness because they're cranky. But if their request is accepted, then apparently the Alex will bring you protection from thieves and sometimes bring you good luck. But you shouldn't say their name out loud because you'll end up summoning a cranky, grumpy Alex from his house.
Fuck. Yeah. You've been saying it so much, Lauren.
It might as well happen. Just rolling some more shit to 2021.
Oh no.
I don't mean that. Okay. The term duende is sometimes used interchangeably with the term Alux to refer to the same creature. Duende is a Spanish word for elf, but can often refer to a goblin or supernatural force or a supernatural creature. It is also thought that the Maya's belief of the Alux developed through interactions with the Spanish and or pirates during the 16th century. According to sources, pirates of the time commonly believed in fairies or fae folk due to their socioeconomic class and the fact that most of them were from the British Isles. One source said that the Maya themselves would claim that the Alux are their ancestors' spirits or the spirits of the land itself. So that one's kind of up for debate. Another type of spirit creature known to this area is the Chenequa. Again, I really don't know about the pronunciation. I'm doing my best. They also go by Chaneque or Oacan Chaneque, and those are small elf / pixie-like beings found in the south-southeast of Mexico, usually the Veracruz and parts of Oaxaca. Their name comes from the Aztec language, and it means those who dwell in dangerous places.
Ooh. Right?
They are said to originally have been guardian spirits of nature, mountains and caves and woods and springs. They like the great outdoors.
They're just really outdoorsy.
They must know all the best hiking areas.
You know, if this is a dating profile, they're doing real good right now. A little dangerous. They're outdoorsy. They might be a bear. Who knows?
When in reality, they like sitting on the couch and watching TV.
Yeah, right.
Just watching a nature documentary. Not
being in nature. That's close enough.
Okay. They are described as having the appearance of a toddler, but with the face of a very old, wrinkled person. They are also known to hide things, get people lost, and chuck rocks at people.
Okay, now the dating profile sucks.
Right, swipe left. Get out of here.
I'm not into it anymore.
Get out of here with that. One source said that they would attack any intruders, frightening them so fiercely that a person's soul would just leave their body and the Chinequas would enclose it in the depth of the land. Not really sure what that means.
Just dig a hole and tell the soul, get in it.
Yeah, I guess.
Get in this hole.
Yeah. Or they just like later dazed into like another realm.
Ooh.
I don't know.
That'd be fun.
Well, if the victim wasn't able to recover their soul through a specific ritual, they would become very ill and die.
Well, that's less
fun. Yeah, I thought you might feel that way. Yeah. Some contemporary tales describe the Chenequas as children with the face of an old man or an old woman. And this vision causes 3 to 7 days worth of memory loss.
Ooh.
It is said that the victims are taken to the home of the Chinequas in the underworld. And apparently the entrance to that is through a dry kapok tree.
Oh. Ooh.
don't know why that specific detail is included.
I was going to say, every time you describe them, I can't imagine them anything else than a Miyazaki character.
Right.
I don't know why, like, specifically, like, Howl's Moving Castle kind of Miyazaki
character. Oh, yes, yes. Do you mean the Witch of the Waste after her magic gets stripped?
A little bit. I think the Witch of the Waste looked like one of my grandmothers, so I have a special place for her.
Sure. I love Howl's Moving Castle.
Yeah, I just mean, like, a very small person. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, look at you. And, like, you, like, go and you, like, tap on their shoulder and they turn around. They just have a very drastic old person face.
Like, they've seen some shit.
Yes.
Just, like, permanent Benjamin Button.
Oh my gosh, yes. That movie is horrifying in its own way.
That was a weird movie.
Yeah.
I should watch it again. All right, so that's going to wrap up Central America. And now we're going to South America. Brazil. You know, this is embarrassing. When I was in, like, elementary school, I did not understand that. Like, I thought Brazil was the entire continent of South America. I didn't understand that it was just a gigantic country when I was a kid.
I was going to say, it is very large.
It's huge.
I don't blame you. It's very big.
That's where we are. So, the Curupira is a male supernatural guardian of the forest in Tupi myth tradition. Curupira is said to be a blend of many features of West African and European fairies, but is commonly regarded to be a demonic figure. His name comes from the Tupi language, and it means covered in blisters. If you look up pictures, he is sort of a freaky looking dude. Legends say he has bright red or orange hair and resembles a man or a dwarf, but you'll definitely know it's him if he has backwards facing feet.
Ooh. Oh,
right,
just remember that for later.
Okay, I'm intrigued.
Remember that for later.
Okay, so he uses this trait to create misleading trails for hunters and travelers, and he can create illusions and produce a sound that scares his victims and drives them to madness. Sounds quite the adversary. But he is kind of my hero, to be honest, because he will prey on poachers and hunters who take more than they need from the forest. And he also attacks people who hunt animals that are caring for their offspring.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, he's like, fuck you. They just had some babies.
Yeah. That's my mommy.
Yeah.
You can't hurt the mommies. It's not allowed.
There are many versions of him, and his appearance and habits vary throughout Brazil. That's it. That's where we're going to stop today. So yeah, I had fun with this one. It was fun, but it was also like, oh my God, I don't know. I'm overwhelmed. I don't want to be insulting. Blah.
No.
But.
No, I mean, like, and I was going to also put the preface it out with mine that we are covering so much literal ground that there's no way to research how it's pronounced, remember how it's pronounced, and say it correctly when we're doing it. We are trying our best with what we have.
We're the Cliff Notes version of this. This is not a master's thesis.
No, we are trying our honest best. We are not trying to be insulting to anybody. We only speak one language, so we're attempting. I think that's true, right? None of us speak a second language.
I took French in high school, but I don't really remember that much. I know, like, 3 useful words in Spanish, but that's about it.
I know how to say the word cat in a couple different languages.
Oh, good. That's important.
It's very helpful for me.
I actually do, too. What languages do you know how to say cat in?
In French, it's chat. In Spanish, it's gato. In German, it's katze.
I did not know German.
And then I used to know the Maori word for it. I don't remember now, but I used to know it.
Okay.
Oh, I remember it. It's neru.
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 The only additional one that I know is Japanese, which is neko.
Oh, yeah.
Cat.
Neko atsume. Hawaii.
Kawaii. We were talking... I was talking to a couple of friends yesterday. I would say, like, my favorite thing is to ask other people what animals say in their language because they're all onomatopoeias. I forget what, like, Japanese is, but I remember Justin's mom telling it to me and going, that's not what dogs say at all. That's not what dogs say. It's
what?
It's, well, like, in English, a cat says meow.
Yeah.
Or mew. Which is, they're all onomatopoeias. Like, they're all, like, what we hear interpreted into language.
Okay.
But in Japanese, the cat says, nyan, nyan.
Huh.
which is like, you're like, okay, I could see a cat saying that, but I forget what the dog says. And I kept going, that's not, it's like something with a W sounding. And it's like, in English, it's like woof or rough or bark. Like, those are things. I don't know. I just remember her saying it, me going, I don't think that's what dogs say. You're wrong. That's incorrect. So yeah, that was fun. But now it is time for Frights and Delights. I'm going to go first because I already have one and it's all wrapped into one. So I'm going to tell the story first. I know you two have already heard this story, but I'm going to tell the story and then explain what the fright and the delight is. So I went and I got my nails done yesterday, and some businesses in New Jersey are still wearing face masks. Some places aren't. And this is being recorded June 6th, just so everyone knows. We're showing our hands right now. So on June 5th, I was getting my nails done, and I had my Ladies Fright face mask on because represent, I'm a billboard. And this woman was standing next to my nail technician trying to get another appointment. And she looks over at me and she goes, oh, I love your mask. And I go, thanks. And prior to this, I had just had a conversation with Justin about how we have extra face masks left. But I think because mask bans are being lifted, not a lot of people are going to want them. So I just have face masks. And I almost said to her, do you want one? And then I thought about it and I was like, oh, I'll have to get her address. And that's kind of weird. I don't want to do that. But then she left. And as she left, I was thinking, holy shit, why would she like my Ladies Fright face mask? Unless she was a listener. I mean, maybe she liked the art on it. It is very good art. Thank you, Joe. But like, why else would she like it? And now I'm paranoid that it was a listener who wanted a face mask. So my fright is that I didn't get a chance to give a listener a face mask. And my delight is that someone said they liked my face mask, which was a Ladies Fright face mask. So if you are listening and you are at Funky Nails June 5th, and you made another appointment for June 25th, which I remember because it's my father's birthday, not that I'm a freak, and you were wearing a really cute, like, it looked like an acid wash kind of dress thing that was black and it had, like, acid wash on it, please reach out to us and we will give you a free face mask. Please.
This is like the misconnections.
It kind of is. No, but right now it kind of is. I put a tweet out on Twitter yesterday and no one responded to it. So I could be wrong, but I figure let's put it out on the podcast. If you know what? And actually, even if you weren't that person and you want a free Ladies Fright face mask, we kind of need to get rid of them. I think I have like 5 left. So if you want one, just reach out. We'll give it to you for
free.
Pretend
you are. Let us know.
Yeah. Yeah. But especially that person, I will be saving one specifically for that person. It will sit in my bedroom for 50 years. Okay, so that's my fright and delight.
Nice. So my fright is that, so I got an essential oil diffuser off Amazon for my birthday, and it was working fine for several months. I didn't use it like all day, every single day or anything, like mostly at nighttime when I was trying to go to sleep. It had like a timer on it, and I would just like turn on the timer and it had an auto shut off. So I went to turn it on this one night and it just like wouldn't turn on at all. It was plugged in, like this thing wasn't that old. And so it was like, well, I'm not gonna go and order the same one again because that would be silly. And so I was like, maybe I'll try my luck at like a brick and mortar store and I'll just buy one locally. And so I bought two. I wanted like small ones, and I want one for my office too. That's why I bought two. And so I bought them and I was gonna like test them out, make sure they work and everything. And neither of them worked. And I'm really salty about it. One of them would turn on and it had like the color rotation thing. That worked, but it wasn't sending any mist, which is the whole point. And then the other one would turn on for either 3 seconds or 10 seconds and then turn off again.
I think you should test them outside of your apartment. You might have a ghost that does not like essential oils, is my guess.
Possible.
Or a fairy that doesn't like essential oils.
But they smell so good.
You should say something on Twitter and like tag the company and maybe they'll send you more.
Like at spa room, your shit doesn't work.
Exactly.
I mean, send me the name. I'll do that. I don't mind. I'm a bitch.
No. I love threatening to write strongly worded letters.
I'm more annoyed that they didn't work and they looked like they were brand new. Mm. So now it's just like, I've just created another errand for myself because now I have to go return them and try and find another one.
I think you should try to first do them in another place and see if there's something wonky happening.
My delight. We went to the clay oven, the Indian place.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, for dinner last night. And it was frigging delicious.
It's really good.
Yeah.
Jackie has actually a lot of Indian places by her now. Highly suggest.
Yeah. And we thought it was going to be really busy on a Saturday night, but we went like right as they opened for dinner service and there was like three tables, including us.
Yeah, it's a pretty quiet place. Yeah. I've never been in there and had it been busy.
Yeah. And the food was really good. We definitely want to go back.
I just want like garlic naan constantly.
We had some.
All the time.
It was so good.
So now that we've talked about food super much, Jackie, what's your fright and delight?
Oh my God, this morning. So I had a tomato and cheese sandwich for breakfast because I'm an adult and I can do what I want. And once I finished it, I started clearing my throat because cheese makes me really mucousy. And I realized how terrible of an idea it was to eat that much cheese like half an hour-ish before recording. So I just water bombed my throat so that I wouldn't sound like a gross phlegmy mess. And I think I might have managed it.
You sound great.
Thank you.
I'm assuming that's your fright. What's your delight?
That's my fright. My delight is the sheer amount of cheese I ate.
Nice. What kind of cheese?
No regrets. Just white American cheese, some good thick slices of tomato, some basil, a little bit of salt, mayo. Perfect.
Did you grill it or did you just
learned
like
that from Ina Garten on the Food Network back in the day? I'm serious, like 15 years ago, and I still eat it on a regular basis.
Is it grilled or not grilled?
No, not grilled, but it would probably be delicious grilled.
That sounds delicious. Now I'm hungry. Mm-hmm. We can't. We gotta do more of these. Let's get into this last part that I always fuck up. Thank you to our sponsors. Cool. Anyway, thank you to our Patreon donors, Mike, Lauren, and Julian. Y'all are the best. If you like what you're hearing and you want to keep hearing it, it would be great if you could donate to our Patreon at patreon.com/ladiesfright. You can also find it in the link tree in the show notes and give us a monthly donation. And maybe we'll give you a little something back, you know, like a shout out or maybe some extra content. Maybe. Some extra content. That is a goal of mine to get that up very soon. Sorry, everyone. But commitment's hard and we get that. So you could also go to our buymeacoffee.com/ladiesfright, also in our link tree in the show notes, and do a one-time donation. We can promise you that all the money goes back to the show because we're poor and we've paid for a lot of equipment over the years. Please, please, please be our sugar daddy. We would also like to thank Alex Price for our theme music and for editing. We would like to thank Josh for additional music. And thank you, Joe, for our wonderful logo that's also on our face mask that you can get for free if you tell me that you were that woman I saw at a nail salon. You can find us on social media like Twitter at Ladies Fright Pod or on Instagram and Facebook at Ladies Fright. You can also find us on TikTok. We upload daily TikToks every day because that's what daily means. Don't know why I need to repeat that, but that's also at Ladies Fright. We are on YouTube, so you can look at there. Well, we don't do a lot on YouTube, but we are there. We're just there. Like kind of standing awkwardly in the corner at a party with a solo cup that's been empty for 30 minutes, but we don't know where everyone else is getting alcohol. We were handed this cup, so we're just sitting in the corner waiting for someone to offer to get us a drink. We're not desperate. You are. Anyway, if you would like to chat with us privately, whispering sweet nothings into our ear or telling us that you're a lady from a nail salon, feel free to email us at ladiesfright@gmail.com. Oh, yes. Also, you're welcome. I know you're all sitting there saying, thank you, Ladies Fright. And we say you're welcome.
No one asked us to do this, but we're doing it anyways.
We're doing it. We don't want to be rude.
We're polite.
We're so polite. Not condescending at all.
Okay.
Okay. No, right. If that is it, Lauren, please lead us to the bar at the party and take us away.
All right. Because this is Ladies' Fright.
Oh, water! Fright!